الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The next two chapters in Imam Tirmidhi's Shama'il, after the chapter on the lower garment, is the chapter on walking, on the walking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk. And the chapter that follows that is the chapter on the covering of the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're two very short chapters, and many of the ahadith that are included here have passed before. So they're going to be very short. Firstly, last week it was all about the clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the upper garment, the lower garment, izar. This week it's about walking. You can see that there is definitely a connection between walking and izar. Put your izar on, put your lower garment on, cover the body, and then you're probably going to go out somewhere, so there seems to be a connection. However, that is then followed by the head covering. So you've got walking and then the head covering. Not as in imama. Imama has already been covered. This is taqannu. Taqannu means covering over the head as such, like with a shawl, something like that. And then after that, it's the chapter on the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit. So many of the commentators are quite confused. They appear to be very confused as to why this chapter on the head covering has been placed in between the walking and the sitting, because it's moving into the postures. It was speaking about the different garments and clothing. So it appears that it should have been with the clothing. It would have been better if it was before this chapter. However, this is also fine in a sense. Maybe Imam Tirmidhi had in mind that once a person is ready to go out, he's put his clothes on. It may be hot outside, it may be cold, and it may be in need of covering the hair to protect, covering the head with a shawl. Because it's not about the turban, which has already been covered. That was something you'd be wearing, decide to wear from home. But then you go outside, it's about covering the hair, the head in such a way, over the turban or over the cap, so that a person is protected from the heat of the sun. And then it's followed by chapter on the sitting of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chapter on the leaning, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lean, that will be dealt with, and then general lifestyle will be spoken about. So this first chapter is chapter 18 on the walking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he used to normally walk, hadith number 121. Is related from Abu Hurairah radiallahu an. Let's read the hadith of this chapter first. Bismillahi rahman rahim. Wa bil isnad al muttasil minna il imam al tirmidhi qala babun ma jaa fi mishyati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa bihi qala haddathana Qutaybah ibn Sa'id qala haddathana Abu Lahi'ata an Abi Yunus an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala ma ra'aytu shay'an ahsana min rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka anna ash-shamsa tajri fi wajhihi wa la ra'aytu ahadan asra'a fi mishyatihi min rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka annama al-ardu tutwala inna lanujhidu anfusana wa innahu la ghayr مكترث. وبه قال حدثنا علي بن حجر وغير واحد قالوا حدثنا عيسى بن يونس عن عمر بن عبد الله مولى غفرة قال أخبرني إبراهيم بن محمد من ولد علي بن أبي طالب قال كان علي إذا وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان إذا مشى تقلع كأنما ينحط من صبب. وبه قال حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع قال حدثنا أبي عن المسعودي عن عثمان بن مسلم بن هرمز عن نافع بن جبير بن مطعم عن علي بن أبي طالب كرم الله وجهه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مشى تكفأ تكفؤا كأنما ينحط من صبب. وبه قال باب ما جاء في تقنع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبه قال حدثنا يوسف بن عيسى قال حدثنا وكيع قال حدثنا ربيع بن صبيه عن يزيد بن أبان عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر القناع كأن ثوبه ثوب زيات. That's the two chapters. The first hadith, as I mentioned, was related from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. He says, ما رأيت, I have never seen شيئا أحسن, من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I've never seen anybody, anything for that matter. Instead of saying anyone, which means just among humans, he said, I've never seen anything, which relates to the fact that anything else, even beyond the human beings, which widens the scope of things among which he considers the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam most beautiful and most excellent of all. He says something that was more excellent and greater than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كأن الشمس تجري في وجهه. He says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't start off with saying his face, his countenance, his blessed face. He said the Prophet sallallahu. I've never seen anything more excellent and more beautiful than Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he speaks specifically about the face by saying كأن الشمس تجري في وجهه. It is as though the sun's orbit was around his face. Essentially saying that it seemed as if the sun was passing over his face and the rays of nur and light were emitting from his face. That they manifested themselves on his face. The rays of the sun were passing over his face. There's a hadith related by Imam Tabarani and Darimi from Rubay' bint Mu'awwidh ibn Afra that لو رأيته لرأيت الشمس طالعة. If you looked at him, it would be as though the sun is rising. If you saw him, it would be as though the sun is rising. And essentially, they're using the sun to show the brightness. And the brightness not just in terms of light, because the sun's light, you can hardly look at it. But it's speaking about the beauty of it, the power of it, the power of that beauty, contextualized into a face, into a countenance. And the reason why the face then is specified here is because normally it's the face that most people relate to. Most people, when they go for the face, they won't ask what the rest of the body looks like. They normally tend to look at the face, and the face appears to be representative of everything else. So, because husnul badan tabi'un li husnil wajhi ghaliban, that's what the ulama say. That the beauty of the body is normally related to the beauty of the face. And then he said, which is more related to this chapter, is وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَسْرَعَ فِي مَشْيَتِهِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَأَنَّمَا الْأَرْضُ تُطْوَى لَهُ. And I've never seen anybody faster in walking, more speedy in their walking than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, in order to distinguish between somebody who walks very fast by exerting a lot of pressure on themselves and then probably is red in the face because of that effort that they put behind it, which seems to go against what we know of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's stature of always being very calm. And so he says that كَأَنَّمَا الْأَرْضُ تُطْوَالَ. It was as though the earth had become rolled up for him. So he didn't have to, it didn't appear that he had to exert so much effort to be able to cover a particular distance. Though we had to do that. Because it was as though the earth had become rolled up for him, the surface of the land, and he could cover much more gracefully than the rest of us. And then to emphasize that even more, he says, إِنَّا لَنُجْهِدْ أَنفُسَنَا. We would really have to exert ourselves. We would have to really like push ourselves, and really tire ourselves out to push ourselves along. وَإِنَّهُ لَغَيْرُ مُكْتَرِثٍ. Whereas he didn't have to exert any pressure at all. And you could tell he was just walking gracefully and he was covering a distance, whereas we couldn't do it like that. It just seems on his part it was so effortless. And we couldn't do it with that kind of grace. We had to really push ourselves. And it was, what he's trying to describe here is the perfection of the power in his step. And there's obviously a miracle about it as well. There's no doubt. It's not just something physical. It's not something just physical. It's something, there's a miracle about it as well. He says, perfection of quwwa, of energy and power, but without having to exert oneself and without having to hurry up, as though when a person has to hurry up, they don't look graceful anymore. Unless you're then running, then there's a particular way of running which looks graceful. But in between the two, where you're neither running and neither are you walking calmly, you're kind of hurrying along, it doesn't look graceful. Which normally removes any kind of look of grace and honor and dignity from a person. You don't want to be caught like that. But the Prophet ﷺ was different. It's passed before that when the Prophet ﷺ walked, it was as though he was coming down from a hill. It was as though he was coming down from a hill. يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَبَبٍ. And that is normally the expression of water, that when water falls, when water flows, it flows. But then when it comes down a hill, it becomes a waterfall. And people go to admire it, because it comes at a greater distance. And yet it's effortless. When the water goes faster over a waterfall, there's no effort on its part to go faster. It's just by its very nature that it does that. And that's the kind of imagery that they're trying to, these Sahaba are trying to conjure up in our mind about the way the Prophet ﷺ walked. Because how else would you describe a miracle? That's the challenge here for the Sahaba. They were describing a miracle. So he said, it's as though the earth was rolled up. And we had to hurry up. We had to really hurry up to even keep up with him. The question is that there's another hadith where it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ used to drive them, used to be behind them. He wasn't always walking in the front as though he was the leader and they were his entourage. Out of his humility, he would walk in the back and he would help them along and he would move them. Well, the fact that he had to go, so if you got respect for someone and the person is moving fast, you're going to try to move fast as well. So there's no contradiction between this hadith and that hadith. They can both work in a sense. That we have to really put a lot of effort to just keep up with his even going behind and driving us as such, or guiding us from behind. The other thing is the description. Why did he mention how his face looked, how the blessed face appeared, and then about his walking? So there's another aspect here which contributes to the graceful walking. When a person is standing, they're able to really compose themselves and portray a very graceful appearance. When you're hurrying along, it's very difficult. You become out of breath. You may start perspiring. You may start sweating. You may be concerned about other things. You're looking. You're in concentration. So some of the commentators have said that one of the reasons for mentioning these two points together is that even when he was walking like this, so effortlessly and so gracefully, his face was still so radiant. It did not change despite the fact that he was in this mode of walking. Clearly what they saw is probably very difficult to put in words because there was a miracle aspect to it. The next hadith is hadith number 122, which is related from one of the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu an, that he says, he relates that when Ali radiyallahu anhu used to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, كَانَ إِذَا مَشَى تَقَلَّعَ كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَبَبٍ. This is a hadith that we've covered before. He's just brought it here to contextualize it under the chapter under walking. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked, تَقَلَّعَ. تَقَلَّعَ comes from the word قَلَعَ. قَلَعَ means to uproot a tree, to show power. Right? تَقَلَّعَ. So he did not place his feet sloppily. He did not place his feet in a way that did not express manliness and grace. He took powerful steps as such, without effort. So we have to say he's not stomping on the ground, which has been actually prohibited. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. It's been prohibited to walk like that because you're stomping on the ground, which means that you are trying to express a proud and arrogant attitude in your walking. That it wasn't like that, despite the fact that it was strong, it was graceful, it was humble, but it was very strong and definitely not slouchy in any way. كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَبَبٍ. And it appeared as though it was coming down. It appeared as if he was falling, as if it was falling down or forward, inclined to the front. Essentially, that's what it means. And the last hadith is again something that has passed before. It's very similar to this previous one, except that it's got a different wording. That hadith is 123, which is related from Nafi' ibn Jubayr ibn Mut'im from Ali radiallahu anhu. Again, in another version, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, إِذَا مَشَى تَكَفَّأَ تَكَفُّأً كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَبَبٍ. تَكَفَّأَ تَكَفُّأً, which means he appeared to be leaning forward. It appeared that he was leaning forward. Not that he was leaning forward. He says, كَأَنَّمَا. كَأَنَّمَا means it is as though. He didn't say that he was. Because if he was, then it means he was bent, stooped down. But it wasn't stooped down, it was standing up. But then it seemed like that. And that's because of the power of the stride. كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَبَبٍ. Again, he brings that, the flow of the water from a higher elevation to a lower place. He said it was like that. And that ends that chapter. The next chapter is of taqannu'. Taqannu' comes from the word from qina'. Qina' means a head covering in general. Normally something that goes all around the head. So it says taqanna'at al-mar'ah, that a woman wore her head covering, which means she covered her hair. So it's not speaking just about a little cap, it's actually speaking about a full cover. And it's normally about covering the entire thing with a long shawl kind of cloth. Or it could be from covering the rest of the head with the end of the imamah, of the turban, or with something else. In this case, he had an imamah on. This is what the commentators say, that it appears that he had an imamah on, and he had this cloth over the imamah, like a shawl, like people wear imamah, and then they wear a shawl over the top. So it was over the turban. It's possible that it could have been underneath, but in this case it seems it was on top, because you could see it, and that was what was most distinct. The imamah is not mentioned here. And one of the times that he did this was Aisha radiallahu anha reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit us every day. Used to visit us. We were very close friends with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this was just before the migration. Aisha radiallahu anha reports that one day it was peak noontime, really hot. A time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never come, because it's a time when people rest, take a siesta. But suddenly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appeared, and he had his head covered. And he said to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, I've been given permission for the migration. So then they planned their migration from Makkah Mukarramah during that time. And that's when Aisha radiallahu anha and her sister Asma radiallahu anha prepared the provisions for the way and so on. So it's talking about that. Other times this qina', the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to also use the qina' many times, frequently, as mentioned in the hadith, to protect his imamah, his headgear, from the oil that he used to use on his head. So, two things. One is that it's a hot climate. And if you put a lot of oil on, and you need a cloth to put over it, then it means that he used a lot of oil. And he didn't want that to soil his imamah, his turban, or his part of the upper garment. So that's why he used to actually put a cloth on first and then wear the imamah on top until the oil dried out slightly. So these are different reasons. One is just the shawl, or when the wahi would come, he would do that sometimes. But in this particular narration that Imam Tirmidhi brings, which is hadith number 124, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر القناع. The Prophet ﷺ used to abundantly use this cloth to cover his hair, a head cloth as such. Why? كَأَنَّ ثَوْبَهُ ثَوْبُ زَيَّاتٍ. It was as though that cloth was the cloth of an oil merchant, of an oil seller. Because when you've got an oil seller, when you're dealing with oil, it's hardly ever going to be so perfect that you never spill anything. There's always going to be something dribbling here and there, and you need a cloth to be able to clean it up with. So it's normally a kind of an oily cloth. So he's trying to describe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use a lot of oil, and then he used to have this cloth on top of it. You can see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very orderly in this sense. Yes, he used a lot of oil because he had long hair, and anybody who has long hair should use oil because it's good for it, it's nourishing for it, right? Because it does pull a lot from your head. It does pull a lot. It does pull a lot. It gets very dry. So you should use it, those who have long hair. But then the Prophet ﷺ used to use an extra piece of cloth as well. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not against manliness to be able to do that, or to do that. So that's when it's كَانَ يُكْثِرُ الْقِنَاءَ كَأَنَّ ثَوْبَهُ ثَوْبُ زَيَّاتٍ. And again, this has also passed before. The next chapter is on the way the Prophet ﷺ used to sit. Inshallah, we'll do that next time. اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزا الله عنا محمد ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا محمد ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا محمد ما هو أهله اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى اللهم إنا نسألك تمام العافية ودوام العافية والشكر على العافية حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل اللهم ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شر أنفسنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب